Change Healthcare opens a backup pharmacy system as outages continue following a cyber attack late last month. Hospitals and physicians may see some relief in a newly proposed federal spending deal. And the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention drops its 5-day isolation guidance for COVID-19 infections. It's Tuesday, March 5th. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson, and this is Just Healthcare Daily, where you get the headlines and health business and policy news in 10 minutes or less. Change Healthcare has introduced a backup system for pharmacies following a massive cyber attack that has crippled their operations for more than 10 days. United Health Group announced a temporary version of its Rx e-prescribing service on Friday amid ongoing system-wide outages at Change. It did not indicate how long this temporary service would be in place. United Health said that its data suggests that pharmacy claims are flowing at near normal levels and that 85% of medical claims are successfully being processed through backup workarounds in place. United Health, via its Change Healthcare status update page, confirmed that the cyber attack was perpetrated by the ransomware gang known as Black Cat. Since February 21st, Change has had to disable several of its functions, including billing, prescription fulfillment, eligibility checks, and prior authorization requests. The company handles more than 15 billion healthcare transactions every year and reportedly touches 1 in 3 patient records in the United States. Optum Financial Services also established a temporary funding assistance program to support provider organizations' short-term cash flow needs. These providers will need to repay the funds after standard operations resume. The loans will not incur fees or interest. Optum said that the service is not a program for providers who have had claim submission disruptions, but rather for those whose payment distribution has been impacted. The American Hospital Association, however, was critical of the temporary funding program. Richard Pollack, president and CEO of the organization, wrote in a letter to United Health Group's president and chief operating officer, Dirk McMahon, claiming that only a small group of hospitals and health systems would be eligible for the program and that its terms and conditions are, in his words, shockingly onerous. United Health, through its Optum division, finalized its acquisition of Change Healthcare for $13 billion in October 2022. Hospitals and physicians may see some Medicare reimbursement relief in a recent spending package approved by congressional leaders late Sunday. The 1,050-page bipartisan spending package includes more than $450 billion in funding for fiscal year 2024, which ends on September 30th. Lawmakers have until Friday to pass the legislation or risk a partial government shutdown under a stopgap measure President Biden signed last week to buy more time for talks. This proposed legislation funds several government agencies, including the Food and Drug Administration, and will mitigate some Medicare payment cuts to providers. In the draft of the bill released this weekend, lawmakers agreed to a slight bump in Medicare reimbursement for physicians, which mitigates some of the cuts enacted by the 2024 Physician Fee Schedule final rule. This legislation would slightly increase reimbursement by around 1.68%, and in combination with another increase from the end of 2023, would bring the total payment increase up to 2.93% through the end of the year. Lawmakers also agreed to push back the $8 billion per year payment cuts on the horizon for the Medicaid Disproportionate Share Hospital Program. Those cuts would be postponed through January 1, 2025, if this bill ultimately passes. And community care centers would receive around $4.27 billion in federal funding through the end of the year. However, lawmakers still need to reach an agreement on funding for other agencies, including the Department of Health and Human Services. The deadline to reach an agreement for the latter legislation is March 22nd. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has officially dropped its 5-day isolation guidance for individuals infected with COVID-19, according to an announcement released on Friday. The newest guidance allows infected individuals to return to normal activities when their symptoms have improved and they've been fever-free for at least 24 hours without the aid of a fever-reducing medication. The CDC said that this new guidance brings the COVID recommendation in line with its guidelines for other respiratory illnesses, including influenza and RSV. CDC Director Dr. Mindy Cohen told ABC News that the agency wanted to provide an easier and more understandable set of guidelines for people who are sick. Cohen also said that the time was right to make the change.
We're at the tail end of respiratory season, which is why we felt comfortable updating the guidance today. We've seen through this season sustained levels of decreases in hospitalization and death, even though we saw higher level of virus. Now it's going back down.
This updated guidance is intended for community settings. There are no changes to respiratory virus guidance for healthcare settings. Though COVID isolation guidelines have changed, the CDC still recommends staying up to date with vaccinations, practicing good hygiene, and taking steps to ensure cleaner air, including purifying indoor air, bringing more fresh outside air into homes, and gathering outdoors. The agency also recommends that once people infected with COVID resume normal activities, they take additional steps over the next 5 days to curb the spread of the virus, including wearing a well-fitting mask, keeping a distance from others, and getting tested for respiratory viruses. In mid-February, it was rumored that the CDC was planning on dropping its 5-day COVID isolation guidelines. In response, the People's CDC, a watchdog group of public health experts and patient and disability advocates, criticized the agency, saying that it was prioritizing short-term business interests over health by caving to employer pressure on COVID guidelines. This has been Gist Healthcare Daily from Kauffman Hall. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. Thank you so much for listening. If you like the show, please leave us a rating or a review. It helps other listeners find the podcast. You can check out more insights on healthcare business and policy news at gisthealthcare.com. You can also get these insights emailed directly to your inbox when you subscribe to our newsletter, The Gist Weekly.